Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, July 3rd, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Freedom with the Word. Our text comes to us from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
I've spoken many times on the 4th of July in the meaning of independence, and I thought I would do something a little bit different this Sunday morning and at the same time address the concerns that are always in my heart. So our text this morning is John 8, 31 and 32. And it reads this way. Do you have it back there, Dan? No, okay. Let me read it to you directly. It says, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, listen to this. If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. And here's the text that so many people quote, and they never do it in the context of how it was spoken. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom comes from knowing the truth, not from hiding the truth, changing the truth, manipulating the truth, but the truth, the real truth. So if I were to ask you, who are you? Could you tell me who you are? Don't, please. Who are you anyway? Well, the truth will set you free. So it's an important question to ask ourselves. But let me just simply answer that question as to who you are. You're being made in, you're in process of becoming a child of God. You're every day you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not finished yet. God is still working on you. So don't despair. God is still working in each one of us. But this morning, I want you to see that this New Testament passage gives us such a complete picture of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple of Christ, what it means to be who you are. And briefly, may I suggest to you four things. The first thing is that discipleship or believing in Christ is exactly that. You believe in Christ, and that's how discipleship begins. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And belief comes in the moment that Christ comes into your heart. Having the Lord in your heart is an event. It is not something that happens in silence. It's something that actually shakes you up, sort of like. Because Christ comes into your life, and there's a new moral compass. There's a new Lord and Savior that you serve. There's a new direction in your life. And I'm telling you the truth. When you have Christ in your heart, you accept the Lord in your heart, you believe everything that Jesus says to be true. When Jesus speaks to your heart, you don't say he's lying. You don't say, is it really true? You automatically believe it because we accept the words of Jesus as being truthful, as being the truth. Jesus will always say the truth. Everything he has to say to you and to me about the love of God, everything that he has to say to you about the terror of sin, everything he has to say to you about the real meaning of life. To believe Christ is to believe everything he says. You and I have no right to pick and choose. Everything he says is true, and we believe it. And discipleship, your walk with Jesus begins with belief. You believe what Jesus says to be true. And that's a great beginning. It really is, because if you really want to know what's going on around you, just listen to the words of Christ, read the words of Christ, and he will tell you the truth about everything in life. The second thing, which is very important, is that you and I are mandated or called to remain in his word, remain in his truth. It says, if you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. If you stay in the truth, if you constantly remain in the words of Jesus, something wonderful will take place in your life. This means that belief in Christ is not necessarily a one step, but a many step process. You believe in Christ, he speaks words of truth to you, and then four things occur. First, it means or involves constant learning. Constant learning, exactly. Constant learning from Jesus. You just don't receive one class and then you move on. No. More than that, a disciple is always learning, is always in process of acknowledging that there's something new to be learned. You know, Christians need to pay attention and apply what Jesus says to every situation in life. And you learn more and more about the Lord, you'll learn more and more about what it means to live in the truth. A shut mind, when you shut your mind, that is the end of your discipleship. That is the end of your walking and understanding what Christ has for you. Secondly, it involves constant listening to the words of the Lord. I don't want to frighten you when I say constant. I don't mean constantly bombarding. I just simply say that you listen to his voice at every turn of your life. That the Lord is always speaking to you, and you're constantly looking for and trying to hear what he has to say to you. So important. They tell the story about this old 19th century preacher who was peculiar in the way in which he preached, but illustrates the idea of listening to the Lord. He said that he would come to a congregation, and we're talking about, 19th century, so, we're in the 21st century, so it's different, and the modalities are different, the cultures is different, but people would come, and as he would preach, he would pause, and as he would pause, he would move like that towards the right or to the left, pretending to hear God's voice, and then he would proceed to speak. Yeah, I won't do that. Do not worry. If I pause, just take me away and don't see me again. But what it means is that you need to pause and to say, Lord, what are you saying to me today about this or that or the other? Constant listening to the word of the Lord is one of the most important things that you and I can do. When the apostle says that we need to pray without ceasing, that we're to pray all the time, it means that we have to be attentive to the voice of the Lord. And a true disciple listens to the voice of the Lord. So we learn from Jesus, we listen to Jesus, and it also involves you and I being shrewd about what we hear. The word is constantly penetrating into the truth that Jesus would bear to say to you and to me. It's amazing how the Lord speaks to you and to me as you read his words, so that we can have a fuller meaning of what he says. I don't know how many times I have read the New Testament and Old Testament, and every time I go back to it, I find something brand new. Because you can never, ever exhaust in one reading the meaning of the Word of God. And so you constantly continue to listen for the Lord, continue in the Word, and you want to penetrate, you want to dig into the things that the Lord is speaking to you to see if you have the full meaning. And even more than that, if there's something brand new that he speaks to you, people will read the word and say, I've never saw this before, and yet you had read it so many times. This is what we mean by discipleship, being constantly remaining in the word of the Lord, that we learn from Jesus, that we listen to the words, and that we're always penetrating, always thinking through, what is he saying to me? And look, I never saw this before, and here it comes. One day I was reading Matthew, and it's kind of weird because Matthew chapter 1 has got a bunch of genealogies, just names. Everybody will be getting somebody, And I was wondering how I could get something out of that, And then all of a sudden I said, well, what if my name was there? Of course, my name's not there. But what if my name would be there? I would be thrilled to have my name in the Bible, wouldn't you? And then I honored all those people who are in the Bible. I said, I'm going to honor them by reading their names out loud, even if I cannot pronounce them, and see what I can get out of it. I got really nothing out of it except that my name was not there. But God used people, common people, to bring the line of Jesus in through Mary and Joseph. It's wonderful. But look, it involves one more thing. I mean, we said learning, listening, penetrating, but there's one more thing, and that's obeying the word. We constantly must obey what God says to us. He gives us subtle mandates. He doesn't stand in the mount and says, this is what you must do. No, he whispers into your heart, in the secret part of your heart, in the depths of your being, there's a still small voice that speaks to you and guides you, and it implores you to follow through. That's obedience. So what is the Lord saying to you lately? What have you been reading? What have you been finding out? Well, the Word of God is not simply for academic satisfaction or for intellectual appreciation. When you get into God's word, it's a way in which you find out what God wishes you and me to do. I wish I could just read God's word and say, it's a pretty good novel. But it's much more than that. In the scriptures, you find mandates that the Lord speaks subtly, and sometimes not so subtly, into our hearts. You and I, as disciples of Christ, men and women who know the Lord, you and I need to learn just this. We learn to do. We don't learn simply to say, gee, look at this. Isn't that something? No, it's much more than that. Every truth that we learn from God's word guides us to some sort of action. It causes us to do something we were not doing before, or perfecting what we're doing now. Yeah, I wonder what the Lord is saying to you. I don't know, but I tell you, the truth that Jesus brought when he came to this world is designed for action. It's designed for action. What are you doing with what God has been saying to you to do? Maybe we should end the service right now. But no, we're speaking about freedom. We'll get to that in a second. And freedom comes through knowing the truth that will set you free. And in order for that to happen, you must, of course, believe in Christ. Secondly, you must constantly remain in the word, which means that you're going to listen to the word, you're going to learn from the word, you're going to penetrate in the word, and you're going to be constantly obeying the word. So it comes sometimes as a revelation to some of us what to do next. But the voice of God speaks. The voice of God speaks to you. It addresses you. It speaks and causes you sometimes to be uncomfortable, but it speaks to you. Don't get upset. Just do what he says you need to do. Small things. He never asks you to do something you cannot do, but he always leads you from truth to truth to truth to truth to truth. Okay, silence is the name of the word. So discipleship begins with belief. It means you're constantly remaining in the word. And thirdly, discipleship issues in knowledge of the truth. So to learn from Jesus is to learn the truth. He said, you will know the truth. You will know the truth. So what is truth? Big question, isn't it? Many possible answers to what is the truth. But I think the most comprehensive way of putting it, the truth that Jesus brings to you and brings to me shows us the real values of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus' truth brings to you and me the values of life, the reality of the values of life. So we have to give an answer to the values of life. Consciously or unconsciously, we have to give answers to questions. For instance, a couple of them. To what am I to give my life to? To what am I to give my life to? Is it to a career? It's a worthwhile project, but is that what this is all about? Have you ever wondered? Getting money? Well, good luck with that. I'm approaching retirement age. And there's a retirement fund that we have from the university, and some of my colleagues have said, don't look at it. So it's not amassing material possessions, is it? Is you just live for what? For pleasure that comes and goes? Maybe it's to the service of God. All I can tell you is that in the truth of Jesus, you and I see what things are really important and what things are not important. Of course, this takes deep, serious meditation and stuff like that. You know, there are moments in our life when we have to really come to grips with, again, who am I? We started with that. Who are you? You've got to think through. Those are deep questions that we need to ask ourselves. And all I can tell you is that discipleship, as you follow the Lord, it has to do with the issues of life. The Lord speaks to you and to me, giving you answers to fundamental questions of life. Unfortunately, often we wait too long before we make those questions a central concern of our lives. However, consciously or unconsciously, you have to give answers to the questions I just presented to you. So if we looked at what we're looking at this morning, if we consider it, discipleship begins with belief. Discipleship means constantly remaining in the Word. And discipleship issues in knowledge of the truth about who you are and where you're headed and what does it really mean to be human and what does it really mean to live in this earth and what is the purpose of life? You know how many books have been written on those three questions or three concerns? Volumes. But there's a fourth aspect of discipleship for which I want to conclude. And it's that discipleship results in freedom. Again, 4th of July, freedom. It really, discipleship results in freedom. The truth shall set you or shall make you free. The truth found in God's word. The truth of believing in Christ, the truth of remaining in the Word, the truth of knowing that the Lord's knowledge addresses the basic values of life, the truth shall set you free. Shall set you free. It sets you free. They say that in His service is perfect freedom. In His service, there's perfect freedom. And it's true. Discipleship brings to us freedom to be ourselves in the service of the Lord. Okay, quickly. It brings freedom from fear. Some of us live in constant fear more than others. But when you are a true disciple of Christ, if it really dawns on you who Christ is, because you're abiding in His word, because you're going through the word, because you're listening to what He says, because you listen to everything I've said before and you put it to the test in questions, you and I will be free from four different problems in life. It gives us four freedoms. Freedom from fear. And fear is something that you and I have to grapple with. Fear will never again control you because you never have to walk alone again. The Lord is with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I want you to know that you will walk forever in the company of Jesus. Jesus never walks away from you. You take a hike somewhere, but you don't know that, but He's right behind you. And He's right in front of you, and He's right inside of you. And He never forsakes you, never, ever leaves you. You can't make Him leave you. He is there to stay. It's a wonderful thing that the love that He has for you and for me is unconditional. You know, those are big words. Because sometimes we spend so much time trying to gain His love or gain His support or gain His approval. He already loves us, and we don't need to do anything to gain something He's already given us unconditionally. Unconditionally, He loves you. It means that when you're up, and when you're down, but the Lord is with you when you're up and when you're down. You will never have to walk alone again, ever. You will forever walk in the company of Jesus. If you could only understand that He never leaves you and He never forsakes you, that He's always there, He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. The second thing, which I think is even greater freedom, though the first one is important, of course, is it brings freedom from self. Our greatest handicap is our own personal self. At least some of us have come to grips with who we are in the right sense or in the wrong sense of the word. And you say, you know, I can't change myself. I have tried. I have done this. I have done that. And there's something about me that just doesn't want to change. And we despair in our hearts. I have tried, but it's impossible. But the power and the presence of Jesus can recreate us until we're all together new. There is something about the Lord working in you. There's something about the Lord processing His presence in your life that transforms you. That's why I said, who are you? Well, you are a person in the making. You are a project in the making. God's not through with you yet. God is still working out some of the wrinkles, and some of those wrinkles are just big wrinkles. He's working with you. He's working in your heart. So don't be so hard on self. You will see in self problems. You will see in self incompleteness. In your own, you can't change it. Turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, you're working on all of that. He better be, because nobody else can. So there are things in our life that only God can change, and He's committed in changing them. Paul speaks about until Christ is formed in you. There is a form of Christ taking place in your life. There's a process under which God works in you and transforms you as you abide in His word, as you read in His word, as you hear His word. It gives you freedom, again, from fear and freedom from self. And I fear myself more than anybody else. I don't know who shouted out, but exactly right. We self-condemn ourselves all the time. We put ourselves down without the help of anybody. You know why? Because we know ourselves. And we say, oh, how can God love me? Yes, He does. And He already proved that. And you say, Lord, come into my life. And He comes into your life. And He takes you. Just as you are, and then He begins to transform you. You're a work in process. A work in progress. A work that God is intended to resolve. And of course, years and years and years ago, I used to say, I wish people would get saved and then the Lord would kill them. That way, none of this pressure. But that's not God's plan. You stay here and you're a witness of His glory, and every day you're being transformed from glory to glory to glory. But we're so impatient with ourselves and with God. I've often said to the Lord, you know, and sometimes I kind of like get mad at God. Have you ever gotten mad at God? In the right sense of the word, you know, like if that really makes any difference, you know. I said, oh, Lord, I wish You would hurry up and do this. Hurry up. And silence, nada, you know. And I said, now, you know, Lord, you are acquainted with Your power. You know, You could resolve this. I see. Before, why? What's going on? And it's always, I've always asked that question. And people have said, well, it's God's timing, you know, and all that stuff. And I know all that, but I just wasn't fully convinced how His timing is better than mine. It's just human. But then I heard a preacher say something that I will never forget for as long as I now live. I learned that kind of late in life, but I learned it. He says, the reason that sometimes we presume God is delaying his answers in dealing with the issues of self is that he wants you to become more acquainted with him. He wants to have fellowship with you. You need to get close to him. And as you get close to him, you get to know him. And as you get to know him, you get to know who he really is, and you'll forget about the selfish things that you were asking for God to resolve yesterday. And there's this intimacy that God seeks in those who are his disciples. That's why we have to be in the Word, reading of the Word, studying the Word, being immersed in the Word. And then God will deliver us from fear and from self. Because all of a sudden, God's Word takes eminence. God's Word takes priority. And self will resolve itself with God's presence in our life. Oh, but there's a third one, and I think you'll like this. But before I say it, I want you to look around and see everybody in their face. Just take a look, just look at people around you for a minute, okay? You two are in love, so you can't look at each other, so. Okay, here it goes. It brings freedom from other people. Many of you are dominated by what so-and-so says or thinks. Fear what other people may think, may say. Pero qué va a decir el hermano si yo hago esto? What would brothers think about me if I do this or do the other? Sometimes we put too much on what other people say or think about us than what God has to say and thinks about us. Disciples are people who have ceased to care what other people say because they only think only what God says. It takes time. But what does God say to you? That should be the end of all the arguments. That should be the end of our process of finding out, is this true or not? What does God say about you? And in order to know what God says about you, you must be in the Word. You must be a disciple of Christ. Let me repeat myself. Read it. Constant listening to the Word of Jesus, constant learning from Jesus, constant penetrating in the Word, obeying Jesus. When you do those four things, what people say about you, you've been delivered from that. You've been delivered. Sometimes we need to be delivered from what people say and give ourselves completely to what God says. What is God saying to you today then? And don't mind people so much. Mind what God says and you'll be okay. And then lastly, the discipleship brings these four freedoms from fear, from self, from people. From sin. The fourth one is from sin. Brings freedom from sin. Some people sin because they can't help it. People do things that are wrong. Talking to Christians here. And they always fall into this particular sin or sins. And their sins have so taken over their lives that they seem that they cannot break away from them. But discipleship, as we have expressed it here, breaks the chains that binds us and enables us to be persons that we ought to be. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee, said the psalmist. You know how many issues are resolved by you being in the Word? Do you know how many crises you can avoid and can be victorious if you are in the Word? Do you know how much freedom is afforded to you when you simply read God's Word? There are two means of grace, how you acquire God's grace in your life. There are two ways. One of them is a reading of the Word, and the other one is prayer. And when you read the Word, you will pray. And hopefully when you pray, you will read the word. But it's more than just passive reading. It's active reading, where all of a sudden, the sin that so easily besets you, that reoccurring sin, is dominated by God's word. And one way or the other, you and I are able to come into the presence of the Lord, and the chains that binds us are broken. The prayer is that the old man be put aside, you know. I'll never forget about the old man, you know. Put off the old man. And so some of the wives were all happy they were going to put off the old man. But it doesn't speak about your husband that you don't like. It speaks about your nature, your old nature that tries to conquer you and tries to dominate you. You come to that place where you become a new person in Christ Jesus, and those issues of life that dominated you before cease their stronghold on you, and you're able to think through, and you're able to have victory over sin in your life as a Christian. The moment you know that God loves you without any conditions, it's when you begin to get the victory in your life. That it's God's love upon you is so wonderful that he will take care of you, and he will give you, as you get to know his truth, freedom from sin and from other people and from self and from fear, and you can live a victorious life in spite of the issues you face today. Because I wish I could tell you that you will never have a problem in life because Christ is with you. I wish I could say that, but I can't. And I want to read to you something that is close to my heart and is very important in my own way of thinking, because it talks about Paul, the great man who served the world and the Lord in a great manner. And it's on chapter 20 of the book of Acts. And it's an extraordinary account. And verse 19, it says, I serve the Lord with great humility. He's saying goodbye to the elders at Ephesus with great humility and with tears. Although I was severely tested by the plot of the Jews. So what I'm saying is you will always have something or someone against you. Always. Because we have a common enemy. But inside you will be free. In your heart you will have the stamina and the resourcefulness and the resistance to plow through. He goes on to say, I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught publicly and from house to house. He says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul. But he goes on. And now, he says, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Wait a second. This is a man of God, and he is being set free. He is someone serving God. He is the apostle. And he says, I'm going now to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen. He says, verse 23 says, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. ¿Qué le parece, querido hermano y hermana? So some of us want a gospel without suffering, a gospel without trials, a gospel, an easy ride. But you don't get an easy ride. The Lord is in you, and he will help you overcome those issues in your life. But it does not guarantee that you will not face problems. It says, prison hardships are facing me. And verse 24, which is my life verse, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. When it comes down to it, sometimes we baby ourselves too much. We're boo-boo Christians, you know. We get a little scratch and we think it's the end of the world. Look, toughen up. Stand up. serve the Lord. And he goes on saying, and now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom of God will ever see me again. I know that I'm going to die, Ephesian elders, and you will never see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today, yet I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim you the whole will of God. And he goes on speaking. There's something about being a disciple of Christ that causes you to go through great trials and problems and difficulties, but you still are a child of God. And you serve him. And you serve him as a disciple of Christ. So I ask you, not of fear anymore. I ask you in the name of the Lord, stop putting yourself down. The Lord died for your sins. Don't be so hard on yourself. I told you the other day, I looked in the mirror and my hair was standing up straight like that. I wanted to run away from myself, you know. So you will never see that in this pulpit. But yeah, sometimes we look at self and we're scared. But God's dealing with you. God is working in you. God is doing things, and it's not just your hair, but your heart. Yeah, Paul says, I don't see anything good in me. There are things that are wrong with us, but the Lord is taking care of those things. He's working through those things. And would you please quit worrying so much about what people think about you? Fear. Freedom from fear, freedom from self, freedom from other people, and freedom from sin. Come to Christ and say, here I am, Lord. And then you will say, you know what? I know I'm going to have hard times. I know it's going to be difficult. But you know what? All I want is to finish the race that God has given me to do. And that's it. So as you go through Scripture, you find out that the greatest freedom that you and I can ever have is to know the truth. The truth shall set you free to be God's people. This country needs Christians who are free. This country needs disciples. This country needs men and women of prayer, men and women who believe in the Word and live the Word for His glory, so we can change things around you. Oh, better yet, so that the Lord can change things around us. God bless you, and God bless America. May God do a work in our hearts and life. May God bring a revival in our country. May that revival begin with you this morning by making a commitment to be in the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Shall we pray? So, Lord, we thank you for the freedoms you have given us. The freedom, Lord, from fear, from sin, from other people, from ourselves. Lord, I pray that this morning will be a moment of commencement, that we will begin to have an understanding of God working in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, that God will, you will come to us in a new way, that you'll reveal yourself in our heart, and that we will have more than just a coming to church, but that we will come a coming to God encounter, that there will be changes in our hearts and lives, that there will be a restructuring of our hearts, there will be a new construction going on inside of us. And that you could see the fingerprints of you, Lord, working and strengthening and arranging and rearranging. And Lord, we submit to you all of our fears. We submit to you, Lord, all those issues that compel us not to have freedom, and give us that freedom in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Will you stand?
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. My freedom
begins.
I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
would pray that you would make a commitment to read God's Word and to be in God's Word, to experience the freedom that it does. And it's not going to be overnight that it happens. Well, who knows? But it takes time. But it's the way you build, the way you grow, the way you see God working in your life. And you will have challenges to that discipline. The enemy of your soul is alive and like a roaring lion. He's not sleeping and taking it easy. And there is no pardoning. The enemy does not give you an excuse or does not say, okay, I'll let you get by with it. He is always trying to see how he may put you down. But you must make a commitment that you're going to be one of his disciples, and you will read the Word, and you will meditate in the Word, and you'll be attentive to say, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? So what has the Holy Spirit said to you today? What must you do? Maybe think more about it, okay, but what is he asking you to do? Whatever it is, do it for the glory of God. So church, this is the 4th of July weekend, and I'm invited to several homes, so expect me. Starting in about 2 hours, I'll be showing up at your home, and va a haber tamalitos por aquí, and there's going to be some frijoles por allá, and nah, don't worry, it's just an evil threat. I'm not going to go. I'm staying home. That's what I'm going to do. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Rejoice safely. Watch out with those fireworks. Very expensive this year. Go see a show. Turn on the TV. All right. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do mean that. Amen. God bless you.
We are so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to see the whole service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bvfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.